Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington, presented by EMP. 180 Weight Loss, structure, accountability, results, the standard for weight loss in the area. It's EMP180weightloss.com. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Jason Bishop, Johnny Cake Sawville, and Eric Pickle. That is the foursome. Neil Greenberg from the Washington Post going to join us coming up at 7:20. You know, it's a game show Wednesday, and we have a bunch of prizes to give away later in the show. Mm-hmm. We'll play a game at 9:45, but right now, why don't we hook up our 10th caller at 800-636-1067 with some tickets to see your Washington Nationals take on the Phillies June 22nd at Nats Park. You can enjoy the K Street section. Root for your Nats to victory. Tickets on sale now through the Nats Park box office. But you can win your way in with 106.7 The Fan. Get more details at thefandc.com/contests. So we have a bunch of those tickets to give away later in the program, but we'll hook you right now at 800-636-1067.
All right, I know that Valdez has a bunch of clips. So, Matt, I'll let you take it away. The only one I care about is the Ovi clip, but we don't have to play that right at the beginning because everything else, I'm sure, will pale in comparison. Mm-hmm. But you could kind of go through them, your favorites. I don't know. You want to play Backstrom? You want to play Oshie? Whatever you want to play, I'll let you run with it.
Okay, so there are only, I guess, a handful of Caps players that took the podium besides Barry and Ted.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one we'll do is we'll do Kuzi. Start off with Kuzi. And he got a little frisky on the mic.
I wasn't preparing my speech, but I don't have to say enough. And for some guys, it's been a long way to get to that point. But we're never going to be there without our parents, without the fans, without our families. And let's f*** this shit.
He just said, let's F this S?
Yes.
I didn't understand it. I saw that last night. I didn't understand
it. Made me chuckle.
Hey, guys just wanted to curse, I guess.
I know.
Believe me, I get it.
A little bit awkward as a million kids. They just get kids in the crowd.
Yeah, because you got a big crowd in front of you and everything.
It's hard, an open mic.
Yeah, and it's the kind of like the
first thing, they're drunk. They're all drunk.
Right. Yeah, you lose perspective when you've had a few
cocktails. They've been drunk for 4 days.
Yeah.
All right, so the next clip is we'll do the Oshie and his new chant,
right?
That he wants to do with Caps fans.
There's been a lot of chants. There's been "Let's go Caps." There's been "We want the cup." We've heard in the streets, "We got the cup." We got a new one for you tonight. Today, back to back, back to back, back to back.
And by the way, I never knew that pulling your shirt over your face or your jersey and then guzzling a beer through it, I never knew that was a move. But he's done it. He did it at the Nats game, uh-huh. And he did it again
on
the podium.
He did it on stage.
That's his move.
How does he do it?
He just pulls his shirt up over his head.
And then he puts the beer over the shirt.
And then he just starts drinking it through the shirt.
What's that supposed to do?
I don't know.
It almost looks like waterboarding.
It gets the crowd going crazy. That's what it's supposed to do. I thought,
why are you filtering that beer through that dirty jersey?
Yeah, it's probably all sweaty.
That didn't make any sense to me.
You're drinking a sweat light.
It's his thing.
Yeah.
It's his move.
And then I'll play the first part of the Ovi speech.
Okay. Good.
Okay.
What's up, buds?
By the way, they were saying that's like an inside joke, like with him and the guys. I mean, he calls everybody babes or something.
Yeah, I didn't get it, but then you could tell it was by everyone laughing in the background.
Right.
You could tell it was something that him and his broskies are doing.
What's up, buds? My team is low with buds, you know, like Holtz,
throw me under the bus, under the train. Look at this. Look at this people who's here. You know, like, you thought it's going to be crazy, but it's basically nuts. You know, like, you guys killing it. You just bring for us, for our families, for our moms, dads, brothers, wives, kids, just happiness, because they support as much as you are. They are all in, and we want to say thanks for our families and for you guys. Thank you very much, babes. Thank you, Ted Leonsis. Thank you, coaching staff. Thank you, GM, to bring this team together. And how old Beb said, back to back, right? And now I have only one thing to favor to do. You know, we all sing one song together. We all want to sing together with you guys.
So they all get on stage and they all start singing. And then for some reason, we're playing like Mumford & Sons afterwards.
Right, okay.
And so Ovi had them cut off the music.
Do you have that whole part?
No, I just have his mic drop moment that you get sliced for.
Hey, he told him to lower the music.
Yeah,
took him a little while.
One more thing.
Yeah, then he comes back.
It's just us saying, we're not going to be sung this year.
you got to get a longer clip of that. You got to get it longer. It's great, but you got to get the setup a little bit more. I'll take it personally.
It wasn't that much of a setup.
No, I saw the whole thing. I saw the whole thing 10 times.
Such a great clip, though.
And then I think they
the
sang We're the Champions again.
That was the first
right?
time I had heard
That's
that.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Then they sing We're the Champions like 3 or 4 times.
They love it.
That's all they sang.
Why wouldn't they? Yeah.
You know what? I'll send you the clip about these. I'll send you a longer version of it.
Let's go to Bill in Riva.
Bill, what's up, pal? You're all with the Jucks.
Bill.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up, hey, buddy.
Bill. What's up, buddy?
It was great seeing you guys yesterday.
Thanks, pal.
Where were you?
Hey, we started out, we thought we hooked it big time. We were up there on 23rd Street by you guys on the bridge.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I was like, I don't have to go down to the middle of that mess down there. I'm seeing everybody here. And then right before you guys start to leave and pack up, the guys come over on horses and tell us we got to leave.
Oh, so you went down to the madness at that point?
Yeah, well, we went down. We got to 17th Street, and we sat right behind the barriers where all those tan porta potties were, and saw you guys come by. I got pictures of all you guys.
Awesome.
Lurch, your legs are bigger than some of the hockey players.
Yeah, I got some big legs. I'm a big dude, man. What are you going to say?
I know. I didn't realize. But my other I wanted to tell you was I grew up around the land of New Carrollton area my whole life.
Right.
Been to the Smithsonian one time.
Right.
And I had no idea how beautiful it was down there. I mean, there's a lake down there. Did you see that lake down there?
You're just discovering the beauty of D.C.
The reflecting
pool? But I think there's something to be said.
The reflecting pool?
I think there's something to be said that we take it for granted.
Yeah.
We definitely do. We've acknowledged
that ourselves.
I told Shorts yesterday that I went on this one run with Farley, and Cakes has done it too. And Farley, like, will take you by every monument when you go for a run.
Right.
I'm like,
so great.
I've never seen so
he
much
has a
of
full
the city.
Appreciation for
yes.
it.
Yes,
I was as we were walking by the monument. I was telling Grabby, I don't think I've been here since like 1978.
Yeah, right,
like when,
school trip
when
and
I was
rushing by it.
Well, but then family would come visit us, mm-hmm. but now in family. Well, first of all, we're all old now. Family doesn't visit us anymore. But when they would, that's what you would do. Like,
sure.
We did that in like the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
pretty much the 90s and this whole century, we haven't really,
we stayed away.
We don't really go down there and do stuff.
No. So, I'm guessing he's talking about the reflecting pool.
I would guess. That lake. There's a lake down there.
Well, that's not missing. Am I missing something over
I
there?
I don't think so.
I mean, there's no other lake on that route.
I mean, there's a river.
Yeah.
Maybe something.
It is a really beautiful city. It is. Especially this time of year when it's all green.
Well, in a perfect day.
Perfect day. When it's sunny and green, it's
And the flyover was awesome, too.
Flyover was great.
Flyover was awesome. But really it happens too quick, Jakes.
Oh, I mean, the Jets are going fast. What are you going
to
do?
Let's go to Dorothy.
Jets do go fast.
They do, yeah.
Ladies first on this show. Hey, Dorothy, what's up? You're on with the Jets.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're doing great.
So quick story, I come home yesterday afternoon, and my husband's like, you'll never guess who I saw at Home Depot. And, you know, true to form, typical wife, 20 questions. I'm like, who? He's like, Coach Trotz. I'm like, where'd you see him? He's like, in the Tiki Torch aisle. And I go, what was he wearing? He was like, his shirt, and, you know, his Stanley Cup shirt and shorts. And I said, well, what'd you say? He's like, well, I congratulated him, and he was there with his son, and he asked us if we were at the parade, and, you know, my son and my husband played hockey, and he was like, no, we were actually on the ice, because one day he wants to win one, and he's pointing to our son, and the coach was just amazing and awesome, so, and, you know, like these guys are, they're just regular dudes, and he was at the Home Depot after the parade. Getting Tiki Torch oil.
I mean, that's just what Tiki Barry
Torch
is.
Oil, I love
that's
it.
Just who Barry is. He's just a regular
dude. Of course,
dude.
He's going to have a big party in his backyard.
Yeah, I would have gone up there and said, you're going to sign a five-year, $25 million
of course,
deal.
That
would have been money. Was. You know, we have a little, you know, dinky little deck for our Tiki Torches, but I'm sure his is a vast, vast land. So it was really cool, and thanks for your coverage, guys. Take it easy.
Thank you, Dorothy.
You know what struck me, and I know all the guys are young. I know they're on their 20s and early 30s. Mm-hmm. But when they were passing us by, you know, going to the porta potty,
right?
It struck me how young they look.
Sure.
I mean, when you're up close, it's different when you see them on TV.
I mean, DSP's 25.
He looks like he's 18.
I know, you're up close.
And then what's Boyd's first name?
Travis.
Travis Boyd. He looks like he's 12 years old.
Well, I saw what I assume was some of their girlfriends coming off the bus to find, like, porta potty. At one point, they had to stop, and the guys had to go pee. And then some of the girlfriends had to go pee. And I was like, oh, my God, those girls look like they're in high school.
By the way,
I mean, I know we could be all of those guys' dads.
Yeah, I saw on social media.
It strikes you when you see them up close.
Somebody kept track of who went to the bathroom the most.
Yeah.
And if that's an indication of, look, some people can hold it better than others.
Right.
If that's an indication of who's getting hammered the most.
Yeah.
Burakovsky made 5 trips,
he
according
did.
To
really?
The tweet that I read.
I wanted to get a picture with him, but damn it. I didn't see him up close.
I heard there's a lot of bathroom trolling going on with standing outside that bathroom, like basically accosting DSP right after he zipped up his pants.
Me?
Yeah.
I did that.
That was a little hurt even by Lurch.
Well, what am I going to
do?
Yeah,
you missed that. You're the only one that missed
I think
the
I was over talking to the crowd. There was like a crowd behind the area.
I felt bad for those people.
They had the worst spot
in
all of D.C.
They looked like they were in a cage. I was like, I need to go talk
to them. They were fenced off
minutes.
In a corner behind the stage. They were
across the street.
Across the street.
They were like,
oh, worst spot in D.C.
They were like, can you send some of the Caps over? Like I'm going to just herd Ovi and Backstrom over here to this godforsaken spot that you guys wind up in.
Drabby, that was the only opportunity I had with them.
Well, you could have like backed up 15 feet.
I had to scream to get Bickle and JP over there.
Jay Beagle runs to the crapper and lurches 1 foot outside the door to shake his hand when he comes out.
Yeah.
Well, that's because I told everyone I wanted to give him a hug.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you wanted to wipe.
I would have done that too. I would have. He's such a hero of mine. Before he left town, I was, because I'll probably never see him again.
By the way, everybody on stage is crushing Buds and Bud Lights, and Jay Beagle definitely had a water bottle.
Nice. Did he?
I think he's
a good guy.
He's probably the only guy on the team that isn't smashing beers into his face.
All right, coming up next, Neil Greenberg from The Washington Post writes the Fancy Stats blog in The Washington Post. He'll join us on The Junkie.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back. Chunky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Still having fun celebrating the Capitals, winning the Stanley Cup. And join us right now, a guy who I know enjoyed the ride. Got to do a bunch of extra shows this year, yep. Crashing the Net with Tom Daley.
He did.
It's Neil Greenberg, fancy stats writer for the Washington Post. What's up, Neil?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing well. We saw you on your perch there with Isabel Kershudian for the Washington Post. Up close and personal in the parade, talk about your experience, what time you got down there, how you got set up, what it was like for you.
So I got, we had a 7 a.m. call, so I was down there at 7 a.m. And by the time I got there, I would say there was a pretty decent crowd there already. I mean, you had people camped out in front of the stage beginning at 3 a.m. So I got down there and, you know, you obviously saw Caps fans everywhere. It was just as soon as I got there in the morning, it was like I was there at 7, around 8 o'clock, it started to get just a steady stream of people. And that's when I realized that there's going to be a lot of people there, and there was.
Man, it was incredible, wasn't it? I just couldn't believe how many fans there were, how many kids there were, you know, just the reactions. I mean, those guys are just rock stars.
Yeah, and like you said, there were multi-generations of fans.
Yes.
I mean, I talked to some fans that were by the stage, and it was four generations of fans that have been Caps fans since the beginning. I mean, just everyone wanted to be part of the celebration. It was a little bit surreal. I mean, I'm not even sure it's quite sunk in for me yet because, you know, I've been following this team for quite a bit, and, you know, you talk to a lot of Caps fans and you talk to a lot of people, but after seeing, like, from the time they won the Cup to the time that they were partying with the people, and then the parade was pretty much everything I thought it would be, right? The guys up on stage having fun, just obviously enjoying the moment, but still having a very personal connection with however many fans were there. I mean, obviously the fans ate it up. The team is loving it. It's just a really spectacular moment all around.
Neil, we talked to you throughout the season, and by the numbers, you warned us this Capitals team, at least during the regular season, wasn't as good as maybe their record was. You looked at high danger opportunities. You looked at various statistics.
Their Corsi deal.
When did it turn? When did this team become a championship team?
Well, it turned in the playoffs, and you're exactly right. I mean, during the regular season, the numbers suggested that this team was not playing very fundamentally sound hockey. But in the playoffs, a lot of things changed. If you look, they were getting more shots in the slot in the crease. Alex Ovechkin wasn't necessarily just taking shots on the perimeter. He was right up in the crease as well. And you know, you look at the top line players played great. The secondary scorers stepped up big time. And I've been saying this all along. I think the most under-talked about story of this whole run was the Capitals' defense. And I don't just mean the blue liners. I mean the forwards, too. They did a really good job of shutting down secondary scoring of the other team. I mean, if you think about it, through the stretch run, the only line that had any sort of success against Washington was Crosby's line with Guentzel and Hornquist. No other line really had anything going. The Tampa Bay's top line shut down. Vegas's top line shut down. Columbus didn't really have much going. And that, to me, is a signal of the total team effort. So that's really what changed, is that they were finally able to limit the amount of high-danger chances against, make things a little bit easier on Holpe, but also, again, having your best players be your best players and having tremendous performances by the supporting cast like Lars Eller, like Devontae Smith-Pelly, it makes a huge difference.
Neil, I said on the air, and I meant it, I really thought if they could beat the Penguins that they would win the Cup, but it was still more of a hope, you know, in this sort of hypothetical deal. I didn't really believe it deep down, like, wait a second, this is actually going to happen, until probably game three when they went up 2-1. I saw the dejected looks on the, and I thought, oh my God, Vegas knows that they're in for this is probably over. So it wasn't until that late of a moment where I realized they are in fact going to win this. Did you ever get to that same sort of realization? And if so, when?
Yeah, so when they came back from Columbus, that to me was a change, because typically this team doesn't really have a killer instinct in the playoffs, mm-hmm. and it's something that hurt them in the past couple years. But and then you go up against Pittsburgh and you beat Pittsburgh without Nicklas Backstrom for a couple games and without Tom Wilson for a couple games. So like you, once they beat Pittsburgh, I thought things were looking really good, even though Tampa's really good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know I'm an analytics guy. I look at a lot of numbers. But obviously you can't quantify the value of an emotional win. And let's face it, beating the Pittsburgh Penguins without two of your best players and moving on to Eastern Conference Finals for the first time is an emotional win, right? There's a mental component to that that's unquantifiable. And I think that you could see it, right? The huge weight was lifted off their shoulders. And then it was almost like they were playing with house money in a little bit, right, because they had broken through. But even in the Tampa Bay series, I mean, they showed a killer instinct, which we haven't really seen before. And then the same thing in Vegas. So for me, it was two things. One, like you beating Pittsburgh. The second one was Brooks Orpik scoring a game-winning goal in the playoffs when that never happened. So that, to me, was like the harbinger that something special was happening.
We're just watching clips of the guys partying it up when T.J. Oshie threw the beer over his shirt.
It was great. That whole, from top to bottom, the moment. I mean, these parade moments will live in D.C. history forever. When we were broadcasting live, Kuznetsov came on, and I said to Isabel, I'm like, this is gonna get weird, and it seemed like he was just giving like his regular speech, right, just like a really heartfelt speech. And then he drops the F-bomb at the end. And then, obviously, Ovechkin gives his speech. And we start to, like, roll again. And then we had to stop because he came back. And then he had his great one-liner. It was a fantastic event, I thought.
And this is the worst part of having a championship team in your city. It's not going to be the same the following year. Mm. Optimum situation, yes, you would keep all those guys. But, you know, there are salary caps.
It's always change.
Yeah. And, you know, there are five or six key guys from this team. You know, the Caps will probably retain a couple of them, but certainly won't keep them all. And we talked a little bit yesterday about John Carlson. He's probably going to be due to make, you know, double what he made this year. Jay Beagle, he's going to make some money. Smith Pelly's going to make some money. Cakes told Jay Beagle yesterday when he was coming out of the bathroom, don't forget about us when you sign a three-year, $10 million deal.
I think I'm in the ballpark there. Maybe that's a little high.
I mean, I really want to keep Carlson and Beagle, Neil, but I don't know if we can keep them both.
No, John Carlson got very expensive. He got very expensive with his performance, and then he got very expensive with the marketplace. Ekman Larson just signed an $8 million deal for 8 years, $8 million each for 8 years. You look at the free agent market, it's John Carlson, the next best free agent defenseman is Mike Green, and then the next best defenseman after that is Thomas Hickey. So having a right-handed defenseman with Stanley Cup experience that can also quarterback a power play, now the starting point is going to be $8 million per year for 8 years. That might be a little bit difficult for Washington to wrangle. I think that they need to keep Carlson because, like I said, there's no one to replace him. I mean, the guy plays huge minutes and is a big part of everything that they do. But that might squeeze out some of the other guys, right? When you look at Tom Wilson, like you said, needs a raise. Michael Kempe certainly got more expensive. Jay Beagle, being a fourth liner, you know, you have to kind of cap the amount of money that you're willing to spend on a guy like that, even though he does a lot of good things for the team. The team is going to look different, but I think general manager Brian McClellan deserves the benefit of the doubt, and I think that he deserves a chance to at least get this team back into a place where it could contend again, because he really has pushed a lot of the right buttons over the past couple of years to get the team to this point, especially this year. You know, you look at the major contributors during the playoffs, a lot of them have his fingerprints all over it. So repeats are hard, for sure, and the team is going to look different. But let's see how it looks before we start to talk about can they or can't they do a repeat.
Neil, what sort of market do you see for DSP? I mean, this is a guy who had to make the team out of training camp, and then he scores 7 goals during the regular season, and then he does his postseason thing that he always does. He scores 7 goals during the postseason. I'm guessing other GMs are going to look at him and say, he's 25. The guy can you know, obviously, you know, score when needed, especially in the postseason. He can hit. He's physical. What sort of market do you see for him?
Pretty big market, and it's probably a very similar situation that that Joel Ward was in a couple of years ago. If you remember, you know, Joel Ward was one of those free agents who did a lot of the same things and also was known for turning it up in the postseason, and Washington perhaps overpaid for him. Typically, you overpay for any free agent you get because you have to win a bidding war, but I think that it's going to be a similar situation. You look at what he's done. It's certainly going to appeal. And, you know, I said this yesterday, Stanley Cup experience is worth something. And you look at teams around the NHL, they want players that have Stanley Cup experience because, one, it helps when you actually get there, but, two, it rubs off on the other players. And they look at you and they see what you have and they want the same thing. So, again, all of the Caps free agents got more expensive this year. Especially the ones that performed well, and I would certainly put Devontae Smith-Pelly in that group.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, now that the season's over, we can get my dog out there with you.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it was great. By the way, it was great seeing you guys at the parade. There was one point on the feed where there were two people driving in a convertible, and my coworker, the host, couldn't decipher which player it was, and I said, "Well, that's JP, JP from the Junkies."
Not a player. That's
hilarious. So it was great seeing you guys on the parade. Well deserved.
Yeah, thank you, buddy. No, I don't know how we got there, but it was very, very cool.
Yeah, well, I don't know if we deserved it, but we didn't deserve it.
But even though Ovi's gray, there's nobody on that team that's as small as me or as gray as me.
Probably right.
Although there are a couple smaller guys.
Yeah, you know what? Thank God some of them were wearing their jerseys because I wouldn't know who they were.
Right.
I just know they're tough, and I wouldn't mess with them.
Exactly.
Well, I was able to pick you guys out of the crowd, so you must be doing something right.
We're sticking out.
Thanks,
thank
Neil.
You, Neil.
Appreciate it, man.
All right, pal. Talk to you guys soon.
Yeah, buddy. I think that just means we're sticking out like sore thumbs.
Right.
Who are those guys?
I'd do them.
It was really, really cool. God, I'm saying professionally, and we've done some cool things. I've thought back, you know, we do this all the time. You know, as we're closer to death and
reminisce
the end of our careers, you know, like the football game, we drew like almost 9,000 people, 8,000 people. That was pretty cool. I would say I always said that was the peak.
I always thought when we did our spring break parties. Now that's because we have beer and women.
Yeah, they're going
that
to see.
There's a huge crowd.
Going to see like naked chicks.
I understand it, but those are still our listeners, and you have, you know, 1,000, 1,500, whatever it was, filling a joint, and then we go about a half a street and we eclipse that.
Oh,
yeah. It was just crazy that a fan base that large was allowed us to be a part of it. It was just crazy.
That was great. It was awesome.
By the way, we should correct ourselves. The guy who called in and said he hadn't been to D.C., he's been like once, right, and said it was an awesome lake.
Yeah.
He wasn't talking about the reflecting pool. He was talking about either the Tidal Basin or maybe Constitution Gardens, which is right there near the monument. I don't think he was talking. Okay. We thought he might be talking about the reflecting. He sounded like a donk. But he was probably
from Riva.
He was probably talking about an actual.
I'll be
lake.
Honest. I think I'd struggle to ID the Tidal Basin. Like if somebody said, "Drop me in the middle of D.C." and said, "Go find the Tidal Basin. There's $1 million there waiting for you."
Well, kind of looks like
I'd be able to find it.
It kind of looks like the river, but it's like where the cherry blossoms are.
Well, I've never been down to see the cherry blossoms ever.
I'm with you.
Right. Anyway,
you know what? There are plenty of blossoming trees in my neighborhood.
Right.
Okay.
I think we got a bunch of those in Bethesda.
Yeah.
It's enough.
No Boy, sense in going down
no.
there to see.
Let me go to Ray real quick.
All right. Ray, what's up, pal?
Good morning.
Hello,
hey,
Ray.
Buddy.
Hey, it's fun watching y'all this morning. It's fun watching y'all every morning.
Thank you, man.
I just want to let you know, it was fun to see you on television before you left to go to this thing yesterday and to see you while you were down there. But one of the hardest things I found hard to believe about that whole day yesterday was everybody, the fans, and even yourselves on the stage, and sometimes the buses as they left the starting point to the final point, there were people running off the bus, some of the players, and going and shaking hands at the fans and everything, and making everybody feel good. It just felt like a nice big party. And then all of a sudden, they just turned and ran right back up on the bus and went right back up and sat down.
Yeah.
And then another thing is the three trophies that sat there, nobody climbed out of there to want to go grab a hold of one of them. It was just a lot of protection for everybody yesterday.
Yeah, no, it was the perfect celebration.
They did a good job. The city
By the
did
way,
a great
the
job.
Cup, all right, is amazing. Everybody's going to have
you,
their
Ray.
Chance of the cup. So, you know, Lars Eller will bring it to his homeland. Everybody brings it to their spot, right? That Conn Smythe trophy, It's the biggest thing ever. Could you possibly fit it anywhere?
It's pretty big.
What I love is that just Ovi doesn't care about it. That's what I love.
He disrespects
it. It's a monster, though.
Yeah.
I just saw on Instagram that his wife put out with him, again, bench pressing it over his head and just dancing around and hugging it. Like, it's his dance partner.
Is he actually?
He loves the cup.
One of the guys take the cup.
Yeah, will they ever get to touch it?
You know, I get 60 days with cup. You guys get no days with cup.
How does that work? So, like, all year it's kind of in transition with the guys, or they're like weeks and months where the cup guy has it? You know what I mean? The guy that's sort of in charge of it.
I think a big chunk of the year, the guy who, you know, like, travels around with it has it. I think that the time the Caps are able to have it
is
probably
limited.
Relatively limited.
I thought I heard
100. You got all these guys in the organization.
I thought I heard 100 days the team gets it.
There you go. Okay.
So, let's call it 3 months.
Yeah.
That's great. I hadn't heard that.
And each player is supposed to get it for 1 day, but like,
yeah, if you're flying to Denmark, I mean, only 1 day.
Well, maybe they just he only gets 1 day to actually handle it. Like, you know what I'm saying? They fly it there for 5 or 6 days, but he handles it for 1 day.
Maybe, yeah.
They've got a guy from Denmark. They've got a guy from Australia.
That's a lot of traveling.
That cups me traveling.
Sweden,
Russia.
Right. I mean,
the U.S., Canada, obviously.
Ovi might just be following it all around.
Right.
And Australia with the cup.
He'll be in all the spots.
Yep.
Right.
By the way, your boy DSP is going to be at the Dick's in Gaithersburg today.
Yes, but apparently you walked out at the end of the little segment commercial that they did. Apparently, you had to show up at Dick's, or you have to show up at Dick's at 9 o'clock and be one of the first 350 people to get a bracelet
to then
show up at 5:30 to get the autograph.
Yeah, otherwise, I'll have 10,000 people there.
Yeah, that's true.
Or more.
Yeah.
Got to limit it.
Well, if you get there at 9, maybe.
Because he was like, can you go to Dick's? I was like, I can walk to Dick's.
Yeah.
But I can't walk to Dick's at 9 a.m.
No,
nope.
Right. Can't do that.
So cool.
All right, a little bit later in the show, Chris Russell's going to join us. Also, Mike Rizzo at 9 o'clock. A lot to talk to the Nationals GM about. Nationals fell out of first place yesterday. Bryce Harper was hit twice. An anonymous NL executive said that he's overrated and a selfish player. So we'll get into all that with Mike Rizzo at 9 o'clock as we go in the clubhouse. Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. It's a game show Wednesday, and at 9:45 we'll play a game for some prizes, but we have so many prizes. We're just going to hook you right now. 10th caller at 800-636-1067. We'll give you a pair of Trophy Day passes to catch Tiger Woods, Ricky Fowler, and the PGA Tour stars at the Quicken Loans National Tournament, June 27th through July 1st at the TPC Potomac. Get all your details now at thefandc.com/contests. So 10th caller, 800-636-1067.
The last time I played Potomac, it was still known as Avenel.
Mm-hmm.
We did it for Media Day, and I think I played 4 or 5 holes. I think Valdez was there, and luckily a thunderstorm rolled in and ended
and
the
washed
round.
It out.
I think I lost like a half dozen balls in like 3 or 4 holes.
Well, that course is no joke.
I mean,
especially if they grow
eating
the rough.
Your boy alive. Yeah. I couldn't have been happier.
I mean,
for
that course
out.
Last year, if you look just compared to the U.S. Open scores last year, that played almost as difficult as the U.S. Open.
Right.
It always has thick, deep, lush rough.
It's not an easy course.
No.
And that's why a lot of guys don't come. I mean, if it's Tiger's tournament, a lot of top players will do them a favor and just show up. But a lot of players don't like to show up there because that course will beat them up.
Right.
Can I just highlight something?
Players like to shoot 21 under.
Sure. Can I highlight something we talked about probably at 6:15 this morning? A lot of people are just tuning in or have tuned in the last hour and missed this. I've been joned on for many years. EB has been joned on for many years for misidentifying players at a Super Bowl party.
Correct.
15 years ago. I thought some rando was Marshall Faulk. You thought somebody, I don't even remember who it was DeMarcus Ware. Who knows what it was? I don't even remember the particular players at the time. But we've been ribbed for years about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually grown almost in legendary proportions when I think both of us asked, is that so-and-so? It wasn't like we said, that is so-and-so. And what
I don't know what you're
referring to.
Well, who was it, actually? You thought it was Marshall. Who was it? Who
I
was
can't
the player?
Remember.
I was messing around with John Randall. It might have been the John
Randall.
Might have been John Randall.
I forget the particular players.
Then he like put me like in a stranglehold.
It's been so many years.
You thought it was Strahan or something?
But the point is,
I don't know if it doesn't
matter because we didn't know the guys.
Right.
Cakes yesterday went up to somebody who's in media.
Yes.
who we've actually hung out with
many
been
times.
Very supportive of the show.
Many times.
Very come nice. Out to like a OAR shows. Yeah. Or anniversary
we were basically
shows.
Colleagues
He's
with them for years.
He's come to our Correct. Summer dress party. We yeah. would be on that show almost every day there for a couple of years. And what happened, Cakes?
I went up to Tucker Barnes, who of course works for Fox 5 here in D.C., meteorologist of note. And to his face, I called him Topper Shot.
Oh, another awkward moment of today, and I'm sure we'll talk about this on the Junks tomorrow.
Is it right now?
It is not right now. This is the second most awkward portion of the day. I saw Tucker Barnes from Fox 5 News.
Sure.
Right down in downtown D.C. right after the parade was done. I called him to his face.
Oh, well.
Topper Shot.
Oh,
and that's not a bit. I really did that, and I feel like a jerk. But I did that, and I hadn't had any alcohol at that point. None whatsoever. I called Tucker Barnes, Topper Shut. I feel like a jerk.
Oh, my God.
I might have to send a bouquet of flowers or some booze, something his way, because I'm an a-hole.
By the way,
and I bring this up again.
That was inaccurate because I did have a beer on the parade route.
Okay, you had one beer,
but it didn't like really alter.
That's when it really started because somebody threw Cakes a beer, and Cakes is not a chugger. None of us really are. But when they throw you a beer, you know, as Jason knows, in the middle of a parade,
you have to.
You got to chug it.
You got to be Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Exactly, and
so that got him going.
Well, I bring this up, and I'm not sure of the context. And I only saw it in passing. So when I went to the cafeteria here, the break room, they have Fox 5 on in the background. And sure enough, Tucker Barnes was there. And they were having a conversation. And it appeared that he was saying something about like needing a name tag at the parade.
Oh, really?
So I don't know if it was a veiled reference at Cakes misidentifying him.
And here's
or
the thing.
A straight up, maybe they brought up the fact that Cakes went up to him.
Course,
I don't know.
Of course I know the difference between Topper and Tucker. But for whatever reason, my brain told me
it was Topper.
Identify him
you were drinking.
As Topper.
You were drinking.
But I had one beer, and
not
that,
when
beer
ran
was,
into
that beer was like
Tucker.
An hour and a half before this.
And let's be honest, Topper and Tucker, hurting first names. You're like, I know it's a weird team.
It was a brain fart.
Let's just be honest.
It was a brain fart, and I feel like a jerk, and I certainly was not trying to insult him.
I saw Doug Camerer yesterday.
I saw him, too.
I was like, Camerer!
And I called him Doug Camerer.
I screamed out Camerer probably 100 times before he finally turned around and acknowledged me.
Correct.
Which I don't think he knows who I am.
He might not.
He knows you.
Well, he doesn't know me by face. He might know the name. He might know the name of the show.
No, right. He knows you.
I don't know. That's the first time I've actually met him face to face.
Yeah. But you might have seen our show.
He's aware. He's aware.
Maybe. He's a sports guy.
Anyway, I like him. He's a good dude. But that's funny that you called him Topper.
I did. It was my
so
most
maybe
awkward
he was
You've actually
to that.
Probably played basketball with Tucker when we used to do those bits at the
maybe.
Wizards promotion thing. Because I remember
Possibly.
Him showing up. He had his high tops that had like
I'm
a tornado
sure
or a hurricane
I just,
on them.
Well, like Jason said, I had a brain fart and I felt like a jerk.
Wow.
But Both it are. Happens.
But we, the best is you actually doubled down, right, and fessed up.
Well, you could have maybe played it process off. Quick enough to play it off.
Yeah, I couldn't play it off at that point. It was so. I wish you guys could have soaked in the awkwardness.
Yeah,
because it was mega awkward.
I got to get those shoes as Adidas with the Capitals logo on the. On
They're
the
nice.
Side.
They're very limited.
They're $200.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Alan May had some on yesterday.
Oh,
shocker.
Did he?
Yeah.
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 Those are sweet.
They're two bills.
Are they?
Yeah.
Maybe I don't get them.
I mean, I'd like a pair too, but I think the quantities are limited. They might be sold out
you wouldn't
already.
Even get like a Caps t-shirt. You're going to buy $200 sneakers.
No, I didn't realize
he's going to wear
that
a like
much.
Jersey.
Yeah, I know.
I didn't realize. My wife wore the, no, my mother wore the like jersey
oh,
yesterday.
Good for her. Did she have a great time?
She had a great
time.
Or
was it too much, like too much running around?
I didn't talk to her about
much
that depth.
After.
But I can't imagine, you know, for a 7-year-old woman, she was happy about standing around for 6 hours. But, you know,
right.
She made it. She made it through.
Everybody did. Again, we're just sort of still in that glaze, that hangover from yesterday. It was just so awesome. And, you know, people always say, I just want to be in a parade. Danny Ruelle has been saying it for years. Just want to have a parade.
Yeah.
And I always just kind of, what do you care about a parade? It never really registered with
Until
me.
Until you
like,
actually see it, yeah, up
and
close.
And then we're like, wow, you know what? This is pretty
well,
cool.
Well, let's be honest. Being part of the parade is way better than just being one of the dogs behind
right.
The
Right, that's the best parade we'll
barriers.
Ever be a part of.
I mean, it was amazing, the right. access that we had.
I don't
we
think
in the middle of
there's no way any of us could actually gone out there at 6 in the morning and stayed until 3 o'clock.
Well, I would never do it.
Yeah, no. We couldn't.
We're
have done
too
that.
Jaded. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Why did you stand for that long?
We're
bitching about walking a mile with draft t-shirt.
To be in the parade.
For an experience of a lifetime. Right. No, really, I didn't care about the walk as long as we got there. That's all I cared about. Just getting there. Get to the right place. When we came out of the metro and Drabby just started staring at the sky and trying to get his bearings, I was nervous.
Well, we were walking seven deep. So there were seven of us. And when he did cross that crosswalk, like, I went to the other side because I lost you guys for a while because legitimately there was a cop saying, no!
Right. You guys can get arrested.
So I was like, I was the last person before he was saying it, and I was sprinting across.
I just looked for Jason's head above the crowd. And that's how I kind of kept up
with
you guys. I was
just
on the other side.
Jason made it, right? Yes.
By the way, I passed no fewer than 500 people selling knockoff Washington Capitals Stanley Cup merchandise in the middle of D.C. yesterday. Mm-hmm. Like every third person I passed.
Where'd you get your pictures, Jason?
Selling $5
t-shirts. Bought it from a guy on the street.
I thought you got the pictures from the hot dog guy.
Yeah.
Jason bought hot dog.
I bought a
pictures.
Hot dog, and then right across the walkway was the guy selling pictures.
Right.
It was a team photo of them on the ice.
Okay.
It had to be a stolen photo.
It's clearly someone else took.
It's going to look silly in his basement. Yeah. That's all
he
cares about.
I asked the guy, I said, did you take him? He goes, no, I got him from the photographer. I said, you know what? That's fine.
The photographer.
I'm gonna frame it up.
The photographer took a picture of his TV.
Yeah. No, it looks good, actually. I'll bring it in. You'll see it. It's going to look silly framed.
Yeah. Seriously, he left for like a minute because we walked to the metro. And I was doing a hit with Grant and Danny, so we couldn't go down the metro yet. He went to get some food, and he comes out. I thought he had two hot dogs. One hot dog and the picture.
Yeah. I told you I wanted one.
I got a silly ice cream cone, one of those where they dip it into the...
into the jimmies?
Is that what it's called?
The sprinkles?
No. You dip it into... So I dipped it... Instead of dipping into chocolate, I dipped it into some sort of cherry thing, like Cap's Red thing. It was the greatest ice cream cone ever.
All right, coming up a little bit later in the show, Chris Russell's going to join us, our Caps insider for 106.7 The Fan, and Mike Rizzo as we go in the clubhouse and talk some Nationals coming up at 9 o'clock here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.